This podcast is brought to you by Refix, a natural and organic isotonic drink containing 78 sea minerals. It's available on Amazon UK now, and it's heading to the shelves of all major health food retailers and pharmacies soon. Oh, that is nice.
It is nice. It's really good, though, because when I was talking to the guys at Refix, it kind of marries very well with our brand, because not only is it replacing like your normal kind of sugary isotonic drinks with something that's all natural after training, but also for like things like hangovers.
Important like, for our clients.
Yeah, super important for our clients.
Because a lot of them are hungover when they come into the gym.
They love training.
The flavors are good. That one we've just had now, what is it?
That one was orange and they've got lemon. And then they're bringing out Extreme Hydration, which is mixed with coconut water as well as seawater, because they get the minerals that would normally be added in to a...
Floating around in the sea.
Exactly. They just pull it out of the sea.
78 of them.
It's filtered very, very well.
And it's Spanish sea as well. So...
The cleanest.
Special sea. And also, they do things to help the planet. They do regular beach cleans. They help tidy up our oceans. It's just a great drink and great people. So we're happy to be partnering with them for this podcast.
Our lovely listeners can buy Refix with a little discount, can't they, George?
They can. It is BTL15. And you type that into the discount code on the Refix website and you get 15% off.
That is BTL15.
Refix. Seawater. Sea hydration. Extra slurps. Is that you drink all the time?
Super slurpy. Hey guys, before we get into this episode of Before Lights podcast, here at Before the Lights, we are super supportive of all our friends who are actors and their strike with the Screen Actors Guild. Therefore, we've held on to some of these episodes until the strikes are finished. So some of the stuff they say might be dated or it might have already come out, but we're super grateful for the time they've given us and it's still super interesting chat. So yeah, have a listen and enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm George Ashwell.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm Georgia Canavan. And we are Before the Lights.
We work with actors and teams behind the scenes in film, TV and sport to keep their mental and physical health ticking over on and off screen.
On this podcast, we talk to some of them about how they get the most out of their mind and body and everything in between.
Do we sing happy birthday to you?
Jonah's birthday was yesterday, which is a long time in the past for everyone that's listening.
Yeah.
We can still acknowledge it. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, happy Jonah. Birthday, Jonah.
Thanks, he's hungover.
Thank you.
First thing he said when he got to the gym, I got very drunk yesterday.
It was an excuse.
That's the kind of attitude we like at our gym.
Oh, yeah, just honesty and also...
Day drinking.
Yeah.
You can start at midday. If you start anything before that, you have to be on a stag do or going to the airport.
That's the rule.
Oh, no, airport, yeah.
Airport people 4 a.m. lose all self-control. You'll walk in there at 7 a.m, there's like a family having breakfast and the dad's just having a Stella.
It's a different set of rules in the airport.
I don't
like, time goes out the window.
Anyway, we'll move away from airport drinking culture. And we'll welcome our guest for today's episode, the lovely Mr. Jonah Howard King.
Woo.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Our very first Disney prince.
Yep.
Wow. For people who don't know, you are Prince Eric in the new... What, live action?
Is that live action?
What does that mean?
It just means it's real people.
The action is live. So.
But do they only call it live action when it was animated and now it's not?
It just means, I guess, you shoot it, most of it in camera, rather than it being animated.
Oh, it's you. My little mermaid. Isn't she beautiful? Oh, that's right. You. Well, it really doesn't matter. Most people around here use too many words and have nothing to say. You know, I never believed all that lore about mermaids luring sailors to their deaths.
So Little Mermaid, we actually know the trainer who ended up being the cast trainer on Little Mermaid, Sana, who's a fantastic trainer.
Shout out, Sana.
She's lovely. Great. You trained a lot for that because you are massive.
I saw a little, I think you put something on Instagram.
Huge.
And I was like, whoa.
They looked at me and they said, you don't look like a sailor. You don't look like you're swinging around ropes all day. And the first scene in the film is him swinging down, trying to look all kind of strong and athletic. Yeah. And like he looks like he knows what he's doing. And I definitely didn't. So they said, we want you to kind of look a certain way, but also be able to perform all the stunts. And that part of it I really liked because that felt like it was informing the character in some way, like a little bit informing the storytelling.
Absolutely.
Which was really cool.
You got to believe it.
You were gone. Like a lot of people won't know that it took, 2 years to make that?
It took a long time. So I think I was cast at the end of 19. Uh-huh. We started rehearsals beginning of 2020 and we did 3 months of rehearsals and a lot of that was like training and stunt training and trying to put on all the weight. And then we shut down on the Friday and we were meant to be filming on the Monday. And then we had 6 months off. And so Sana sorted me out at home. She like brought over some weights and made me a little setup. And I really enjoyed it. I think the thing I liked about it the most was the functional element of it all. And it was quite intense, and like, was because I wasn't used to it, being that disciplined, yeah, and stuff.
A lot of people would love to have like the reason or the excuse to kind of commit to training in any absolutely sense, yeah, like that, and to have it as someone else going, you need to do this because of this.
Yeah.
And it's your job now.
Yeah. Well, the amount of non-acting clients we get go, why can't you do that with me? And I'm like, all right, 6 days a week, you're, yeah, here with me, yeah, for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you,
yeah,
can,
yeah,
exactly what I, you can kind of put it into words, like how hard that is as a process, because it's not particularly enjoyable, is it?
It was challenging. I mean, it was quite a nice platform because it made you feel, you know, we felt like fit and healthy, and it was me, it was Hallie, it was everyone. And so that was just quite nice for the job, and it was good for our mindset as well. It was kind of how we started every day. Obviously, when we started filming, it was a bit more challenging because you've got those long days and you were going in at sort of 5 a.m. to try and train before. But I did really like it. It was interesting though, because it makes you, obviously you change, like your body changes and you look different. It's can be a bit of a weird experience if you're not used to it,
yeah, because it happens so quickly as well, because people, yeah, like grow into their new body, or they like change slowly over time, so it can change your personality, it can change like how you feel about yourself
for sure. And people are commenting on it as well all the time, like even when it's coming from a good place, they're like, oh, you look different, you look like this, or your arm or your neck looks like that. And then you're like, is that good, is it bad? And it, I guess it's the kind of thing that you have to keep an eye on, because it by definition makes you more aware of your image. Absolutely. And more body conscious.
Was there anything in the training for Little Mermaid that was like particularly challenging? You kind of said at the start there was like scenes where you're like swinging from the ropes and all that kind of stuff. Were there bits that you had to like really work hard for?
Yeah, that stuff, there was a lot of upper body stuff. I think the thing that was most challenging was the leg work, because I had done my ACL for the second time. Okay. It was that psychological thing when you come back from an injury and you don't really know how your body's going to react, mm-hmm, to stuff. So that was a big part of it. And we had a physio, Barry, who was doing that, mm-hmm, with us as well, which was really helpful, because you just don't trust yourself. And it's trying to kind of connect your mind to your body.
Absolutely.
And trust that your leg isn't going to give, yeah, way, especially when you've done it twice. So a lot of it was about building up that confidence. Mm-hmm. Even I remember in rehearsals in like one of our first weeks, there was a scene where I have to jump off a carriage in a really innocuous, chilled out way. And I did it in the rehearsal. And I think the director basically looked at it and said, that was weird. Why did he do it like that?
You looked like an Avenger.
Yeah, I think he was like, you looked a bit strange when you did that. And I think he had a quiet word saying, someone needs to teach him how to jump out of a carriage.
Also, you've got loads of people watching you as you're doing it.
Loads of people watching you. Yeah, you overthink it. But on that job, it was fun because we acquired so many skills, because they just put us through this boot camp of, it was the training and the stunt stuff, but we, yeah, like horse carriage riding, scuba diving,
oh, cool,
all kinds of things, rowboat training.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, I could do that. That's easy. And then again, got in, they said, nah, you can't.
No, you can't. You have to look like every day, yeah, you get out of the big boat, you get in the little boat and you go to shore.
That's
and,
it.
Like, you're just going, there going,
that's
whoa.
It. Yeah, 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 exactly.
And are you filming it on real boats?
Yeah, we were on this massive like pirate ship thing that they had built.
It's
on
crazy
the back
what
lot.
They build for the
it's crazy. Yeah, it looked amazing. And it was on the back lot of Pinewood. And it was on one of these things called a gimbal, which like allowed it to go back and forth and side to side. And there was quite a lot of like work in the water tank as well, which again, I'm not much of a swimmer. And so we had to, which is good because most of the film, I'm like drowning.
Jonah
and Hallie's saving me.
Yeah, you can't swim. Absolutely
can't no. do anything. It's a kind of yeah. miracle I was cast.
The other side of that is the eating side, because you obviously put on a lot of weight for it.
Yes.
How many calories were you on a day? Do you know?
Sana's going to get upset with me that I don't remember this.
We'll but fact check it.
Yeah, you're going to have to fact. I think it was, it's something like 3,500.
That's
a lot of calories.
Something like that.
And do you know how much weight you actually put on from start to finish?
I think I started around 80 kilos.
Okay.
And at my heaviest, I was 92.
Like, he's not super lean. It's not like you need
no.
You need him to look, he's like a big stocky dude who can pull.
Exactly.
Stuff.
But there was a line as well that we almost sort of crossed. And at one point the director said, you know, we're sort of happy you're at a good stage, because he's not a superhero.
Don't go any further. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and he's a young guy. Like in the film, he's celebrating his 21st birthday.
Yeah.
So we didn't want him to look super jacked, just kind of strong.
Because you totally could have been super jacked.
Oh, yeah, that, obviously. Yeah.
Really hold it back.
But that leads us on to the film you did, the TV show you did straight away afterwards,
yes.
Where you basically did the exact reverse.
I did the exact reverse. So I did, it was actually almost a year. So I did a couple of jobs after The Little Mermaid where they sort of didn't really mention anything about how they wanted me to look. And over that year, I was sort of slowly losing the weight, coming back down to a more normal size. And then I got offered this job, The Tattooist of Auschwitz. It's a TV series. And one of the first things the director said was, you know, you're going to have to really work for this because you're going to need to look pretty different. And it was funny because I remember I was attached to do it for a while. And then the director was brought on afterwards. And as an actor, you spend your whole life like praying for the day where you just get offered something. You don't have to like audition for a year. Absolutely. But then as soon as it happened, you realize that actually it makes it really scary with the director because they didn't necessarily choose you. Yeah. So you kind of bend over backwards to do everything you can to be the right person. So as soon as she said, you know, you need to lose some weight, it was like, okay, I better do this.
Start doing it now.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, it was easily the most challenging thing I've ever done. Like, probably way more than the Little Mermaid stuff, because I worked with a brilliant nutritionist, Stephen Grant. Shout out to him. He was great. It was just, it was essentially calorie counting, no exercise, only walking, because you needed the muscles to waste away. And
the polar opposite of what you'd just done. Exactly. Just from one extreme to the other, really.
Exactly. And it was really obsessive by design, which I think part of the reason why they bring on a nutritionist for that stuff is to help you psychologically getting into it, also coming out of it, because it can create unhealthy relationships with food. So you really want to get out of that as healthily as you can.
And to put it into context, you went from what you said before was over 3,000 calories a day.
Yeah, to about, well, we tried to do it on a bit of a like calorie rotation thing.
Yeah.
So on a Saturday, I could kind of eat more normally. Again, partly psychologically and also partly because after 4 months, if I hadn't eaten any sugar or any gluten or any dairy or whatever, my body might have just melted down. Yeah. So it was partly just trying to keep it in check. But other than that day, I mean, this was part of the problem. I think he wanted me somewhere between 800 calories and 1200 calories a day. But again, in order for me to do it, I became really competitive with myself about it. And so I would often drop way below 800. And especially because I was really seeing the results that it became this like obsessive competition of like, I need to look a certain way. I need to do the story justice. I need to do the character justice, because when you're telling a story like that, which is so sensitive, you're going 0.1% of the way of the actual thing.
Of course you are, yeah.
But you still want to go as far as you can to try and honor it on some level. Mm-hmm. But it was weird. You know, we were saying before, I think I went up to about 92 kilos and at my lightest, I was 70. And
such a swing, like you would never really get that.
Yeah,
like most people never really experience that.
Yeah, and I felt like a different person. It was so, it was really difficult. And again, thinking of that body image stuff, it was tricky because I did that job, finished only about 6 weeks ago, and then immediately get thrown into doing the press for The Little Mermaid.
Yes.
And you're watching yourself in The Little Mermaid and I literally look like a different person. Mm-hmm. And you have this kind of identity crisis. Because you're like, who? How? I'm not that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm also, I don't feel myself as this very
it
thin
person.
It must
be quite good in a way though, because now you're like everywhere. Because obviously Little Mermaid's a big like studio film. The adverts are everywhere. The press is everywhere.
Yeah.
And you could be like going under the radar.
Yes,
oh like yeah, 100%. Like my neighbors walked past me the other day because they were shaving my head as well. Like it's growing back now, but shaved head, very, very slim. But it was strange. And I think now it's partly, you know, we're all working together now for this next job, but also I think partly just to get back to a space that feels comfortable and like myself. Because, yeah, and I remember friends like checking in on me because I'd post something on Instagram before it had been announced as well, and they'd go like, are you, is everything all right, like you look really gaunt, and why have you shaved your head, like what's what's going on, man? I was like, no, it's for a role. But people obviously comment on it and are aware of it. But I enjoyed the challenge up to a point, but I would think very carefully before taking on another thing where you have to lose that kind of weight.
I think a lot of actors, they'll go, all right, I'll do this once. I mean, Tom Hanks famously did it, Castaway and Philadelphia, right? Lost shitloads of weight. Not particularly healthy to do lots.
No.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
I mean, hasn't Tom Hanks been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, even though he's not actually overweight because he's messed with his system too many times?
Didn't know
so
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a warning for you.
Yeah. You got to take it seriously.
It's a good job you had. You had a proper team, and you had a nutritionist, and
it was a proper team. Yeah, and the production company—it's for Sky Atlantic, but there was a production company called Synchronicity who were making the show for them, and they were so on it. They were very, very on it for people's mental health through the whole shoot, the physical stuff, but also the mental well-being. They had like a free mental health service on the job because it was, you know, telling a story about the Holocaust is like incredibly triggering and traumatic for people in different ways, and even though it's some kind of recreation and simulation, it still can be incredibly impactful, especially when you're doing it for 4 months. And they were just very, very good, and so they looked after everyone, made sure that nutritionist was on for weeks. You know, I've only just finished with him now, so he's been on it for a while.
That's really important, though. So I think it's easy to watch something and be like, oh, that person looks like this or whatever. It's easy to forget the amount of time either side of a project.
Yeah.
I mean, and having it that it wasn't just right, wrapped, done.
The show we're now working for is a film called William Tell.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor Swindells, who's also on this series of our podcast, is... Uh-huh. Is you're going to be
facing
against
up against
each
him.
Other.
Yeah, we've got a little love triangle going.
Don't give too much.
I won't give too much away, but it's it's a great cast. It's set in the 1300s. It's about the Habsburg Empire invading Switzerland, and it's really fun because it's all swords and horses and riding around, and it should be great.
Looking forward to training.
They crossed paths in the gym just before this.
I know.
I'd forgotten that Connor was coming in and Jonah was going to be leaving at the same time.
We didn't speak to each other because we were going method. Yeah,
contractually not allowed to speak.
Yeah.
And you know he's in there doing like fight training as well. So we got to like make sure you're.
Yeah,
I heard the boxing sounds coming out of that gym afterwards. Yeah.
Connor can box him? As well.
Yeah,
because he's a proper boxer.
Yeah,
but I don't think we're boxing.
So you really are.
Yeah,
I hope we're not.
He may be a boxer, but you should see me with a sword.
No one told me about that bit. I think we're sword fighting.
Yeah. He just throws the sword down on the first day.
Yeah. Come on. There was about 1,500 years of just horses and sword fighting. So I think you're probably in that period, aren't you?
I think so.
You'll be all right.
I hope so.
Are you a Habsburger or a Swiss?
Swiss.
Mm. What was their get up back then, do you reckon? What did they wear during battle?
I'm hoping I'm going to get like full a clothes. Bit of iron. Yeah, man. I'm hoping I'm going to get some armour, some chain mail. I'm a bit, you know, I've never done anything like that. It was one of the reasons why I took the job, because I've always wanted to do a film like this. You know, have a sword.
You know, for a fact, as soon as you put it on, you're like, this is heavy. I want to take it off
this
now.
This is terrible.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
We should buy some for the gym.
Armor.
We could try, you know, get used to it, get his body.
You could train in it. That'd be fun.
Get him on the VersaClimber like wearing
not
it.
Not a bad idea.
What are your horse riding skills like?
Well, I thought you'd never ask.
Is it a Joey Tribbiani, I can speak French, or is it...
My thing is, I really like horse riding. I've done it quite a lot for jobs. My problem with it is that I'm really allergic to horses.
No way.
And so it keeps happening to me. I'm kind of low-key allergic to most animals, to be honest.
Really?
Like even dogs. We had a dog growing up and my parents were like, we're getting one, sorry, you're just going to have to sneeze your way through it.
He's got a constant cold.
Yeah.
Sometimes that... Like helps. Makes the allergy a lot less. So.
Yeah, that exposure therapy thing. I don't know if that works.
I think I had like a really multi dog that was like the worst possible dog to have.
Yeah, it is. It keeps coming back. Like every job, you wouldn't like even the Little Mermaid. You don't think of horses being in that, but there's a carriage ride scene. So of course, I have to take like 9 antihistamine pills beforehand. And yeah, I remember I was doing a job last summer where I was horse riding and I was wearing gloves, and they kept like, because I was up high on the horse, they kept asking me to like push my hair out of my face. And so I would be doing that. And then when I got back to the makeup trailer, we like lifted my hair up and I had hives all over because where I had, like, the gloves were touching the horse and touching my forehead, and I was, like, properly broken out. And they were like, oh my God. So hopefully that won't happen on this.
Do they make hypoallergenic horses?
I was going to say, what's the process? What would you prefer?
If you cross it with a poodle, that'll work.
How would you counter it this
time?
They
cross everything with a poodle.
Yeah, yeah.
I do what I do every time, which is take loads of medication and hope for the best.
Are you looking forward to the training this time around?
I am. It's been really nice, even just the last couple of weeks, getting back into it. Yeah. It's been really nice. Again, like going back to the tattooist, because you weren't allowed to train or do any exercise, you just felt a bit rubbish all the time. Absolutely. And you couldn't like do anything. You felt really weak. And so it's just quite nice feeling just a bit healthier and a bit more kind of in your body. And
were you like shocked by how much strength you had lost? Or did it all come back quite quickly?
Yeah, though it was, I mean, it's so morbid, but yeah, I mean, there was a scene where I had to carry someone across a courtyard, and it was meant to be, like basically carry a woman across a courtyard, and they chose someone, and I picked them up, and I just couldn't do it, let alone 20 times. Yeah, wow. But we had to be really sensitive, because obviously we need to make it clear to them that it was about me. Yeah, it's nothing to do with them.
That's tough.
And so they ended up choosing someone who was, you know, very small, tiny, very petite, and still found it really really challenging, because your energy levels are just so low as well.
But does that actually kind of help you with the role in a way? Can you kind of use the tiredness for your acting?
I guess you don't have to fight against it.
Yeah.
I think if you were for some reason on a diet like that and you were playing a character who was not in Auschwitz, it would be, I mean, just be completely impossible. Mm. Whereas I guess some of that fatigue and that feeling, I guess you could sort of embrace and lean into it.
Kind of go method with it a little bit. Yeah. Like, just, I feel that way.
Yeah.
As you said, it's like 0.1% of what, but at least you get an inkling as to maybe some pain that you wouldn't normally feel that you can use.
Having done the whole, because now you've gone from building a body to sort of losing everything to then building back up to a certain extent. Mm. Do you enjoy that process at all? Because a lot of people don't ever have to do it and don't have to think about like the impact of altering your diet. In a weird way, you've been able to experiment with that a bit. Is that something that you've kind of...
It has been interesting. It's been a good experience learning how it all works. Like, I feel very educated about food in a way that I wasn't, and training in a way that I wasn't before. I think in both cases, it was a little bit extreme, and I wouldn't really rush back into either. And again, I think that's one of the things I'm excited about for this job, is that obviously we're trying to get to a certain place, but, you know, it's good for your mental health, I think, the training, because you feel productive and it feels like you have a purpose, and you feel like you're getting up for something. And especially at the moment where I've got a few weeks off, I really look forward to it, because it, you know, provides a bit of structure. And I know you work with a lot of people who are not working at that time. I imagine it's really good for that.
Something we've spoken about loads of times is that
we work with unemployed actors.
It's like, otherwise it's like having loads and loads of Sundays,
and you don't have to do it every day, but having part of that routine. But it's also like, I mean, even when you do press, you have a call sheet for everything. So basically you get, the night before, you get an email that says, wake up this time, make up this time, da 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 da. Right. And then one day you just don't get that sheet that tells you what to do anymore. And then you're like, when am I getting breakfast?
That's it. It's a very structured, hyper-structured, hyper-detailed way of living that is probably not that sustainable. And as you say, you know, whether you're filming or doing press, the last 4 or 5 months have been so specific, and you have such a routine, and you are sort of told where to go and what to do, and that's great up to a point, but you really have a place to be, and people are relying on you being there. And you know, we were laughing earlier, because it's like every time you need to go to the toilet, you've got to tell someone, and it's like put on a radio.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Everyone knows Jonah's having a piss, and they give it a code word as well.
10-1,
like no one knows.
I know, I don't really understand
code word
it.
They might as well just go, Jonah's going for a piss.
I know.
Again.
And then like you can
is 10-2 shit?
I think it is.
Yeah, I love that.
I think it is. But no one ever says it, because probably just say 10-1.
you're not going to really tell your assistant, I'm going for a shit, so I might be a little bit longer. Like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom, you're going to wait for as long as it takes me to go there, basically.
Right.
But that is funny.
Yeah, but there's all of that structure and that schedule, and then yeah, I finished the tour, the press tour last week, and got back to the flat and had nowhere to be. And it was kind of great, but also alarming.
And then I texted you being like, training tomorrow?
Yeah, like, I was like, okay, yes, yeah, please.
There we go. It's great to have another two, but then as soon as you've like done a day or so of it, immediately, like, there's always a feeling of like, I can't wait to not have anything to do. Yes. And then as soon as that moment arrives, I'm definitely like, I'm bored now.
It literally lasts like an hour for me.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you've tried to take up to fill your time? I remember Nick Holt had knitting was a thing that
he was on set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got maybe on that set, could be in this period of time you've got now, though? This could be where you learn a new skill.
Well, in the past, I guess, yeah, people feel their ways at different time. I tried some writing, which I loved and found it very productive and like creative. And that's the other thing with acting as well, is you're sort of sitting around telling, like, people tell you when you're allowed to do it. And that takes away a lot of your agency. So it's quite nice taking a bit of that power back and going, no, I can do something if I want to do it today, and I can go write, and I can... So I do that, and then in terms of being on set, I got into origami.
Oh, no way.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's fun as well.
What's your showcase sheep piece?
Probably just like the classic bird.
Yeah.
Like
swan thing.
The swan thing. Yeah.
That's still difficult.
It's like the sign of a serial killer, isn't it? Leaving behind an origami.
I gave one to my makeup artist on The Little Mermaid.
She's dead.
Carol. And she's no longer with us. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's... I think the real skill is being able to do it from memory. I'm following YouTube videos.
Yeah, yeah. Drawing the little dotted lines on the paper. Yeah, yeah.
Can you make us a...
It'd be a pleasure.
A swan? Just a swan, but that's the only thing you
do. I mean, if you actually do it, you'd be the first person that Dave's asked to make something. He asks everyone to make something. We've never been given any of it. He asked Nick to make us something knitted.
Maisie
owes us a doll.
Maisie Williams, you owe a doll.
Yeah, she makes dolls in her spare time, like...
Oh, talk about a serial killer.
Yeah.
What kind of dolls?
Like, maybe it's pins in them. She's got one of you, actually.
She hasn't made us one because she likes us too much.
Yeah, maybe.
And once the doll is made, that's the promise.
That's the beginning of the end.
Dolls have been ruined for me now, like with all those films about like the scary, like Chucky. Oh, yeah. You like Chucky and stuff.
Be a little bit weird if you're just fully grown man walking around with a
with the
doll.
Origami, yeah. Though. Is it all based on like A4?
No,
you get
so
like a big A1. It's like, right, I'm going to make a big fuck off.
Well, I guess you could do that. But what I realised, I thought I was basically getting A4 paper, cutting it in half, but you don't cut it properly. And what I realised is that it's all about precise angles.
Of course it is.
And so,
you had bits.
But then my friend Tilda, they gave me proper origami paper, and it's like it's square. It's like perfectly square, but it's also tiny.
What animals can you make?
I think I can do a butterfly.
Yes, please.
But like a very simple one.
Okay.
Yes, please.
What would you like? Like a pink one?
I don't mind about the colour.
Because I've got it comes in like a stack of paper and it's all different colours.
Can we have one each?
Yep.
God, you're just really, yep. You're really making him work.
Yep.
He's got nothing to do. He just said. Can we talk about... Or can we ask you? Yeah. I don't know. Did we even tell you this about we always ask people to bring in or tell a embarrassing/funny story?
Oh,
something
gosh,
that may or may not have happened in a gym, on set, loosely related to your job.
I mean, what's coming to mind, because we were talking about it earlier in terms of like being allergic to stuff. I've just had so many run-ins with like having allergic reactions and not wanting to tell production because worried I was going to get fired. And it's generally fine, but I did a film about a boy and his dog. So like the whole film was about me like being licked in the face by this dog. And it was kind of, I definitely have like different reactions to different breeds. And I sort of got away with it, like very drugged up the whole thing. And you know, it was still fairly early on in my career and really wanted this job.
Really,
I doubt they would have insured me if I had told them. I probably shouldn't be saying this now. Sony will never look at me ever again. Yeah. But there was one day where we were doing the scene where I find the dog because I rescue it. And so it was a puppy. And so obviously a completely different dog. And the idea of one of the things of the film was that it was a mix, like some kind of mix of a dog. So they didn't know really what breeds were in there. And clearly there was some breed in it that I was highly, highly allergic to. Because what they did is, so the scene was, I like find it and it's meant to just, you know, inherently love me. So it runs over to me. And the only way it was going to do that, it could smell the fear on me. So it wasn't coming near. And so they put baby food all over my neck. So it like ran up to me. It starts licking my neck, but because it was a baby, it was in the like teething stage. So it was kind of biting me.
Getting gently nibbled.
So then what happened? So I had these little cuts, but then all its saliva was going in. And
like a snake.
Like a snake. Exactly like a snake, like a viper. And within, I'd say, like 2.5 minutes, I had so like hives, like again, all over my neck. And no one knew, and everyone was, and no one knew why, because they didn't know I was allergic. Only my makeup artist, who was like so panicked, like trying to wipe it off me, and they were saying, "Oh my god, we're so sorry. Like we don't know why
we got a venomous dog."
Yeah, and I was like, "It's so weird. No, that's never happened before."
I know, I don't know why. It's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And they had to probably spend all of their CGI budget. They had to CGI my neck because it was so bad
and it lasted for a long time.
No.
Right.
So that was a good thing. So it kind of, but I got just a facial out of it. Yeah, they sent me for a facial the next day.
Is that how you fix it?
No, but I told them,
I need a facial.
Yeah. Classic production though. They're like, yeah, we fucked up a little bit. Should we get him a massage? Yeah. Let's bribe him with something.
Send him a kiss of beers. It's irrelevant, but I'll take it. Yeah, that was embarrassing. I mean, I'm probably going to be back on this podcast telling you a story about William Tell again, where I just, you know, go into anaphylactic shock.
One big hive on top of a horse. Stuck inside your chainmail.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, you again.
Come out of the chainmail like those like weird like Play-Doh. Yeah.
Connor's going to be sat on his horse like, what's happening?
Fuck? Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. I'll worry for you, man, I think. That's going to be like wild boar, horses, dogs.
I know. I was sort of going through the script, like, how many times do I ride the horse?
Have you not got, like, the, like, medical grade?
I do.
Antihistamines, you do?
I do.
Still, I have to take 9 of them.
That's just, yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, what I've got, I take the normal antihistamine, I take, like, 6 of them, and then I've got the medical
grade.
The
one a days.
Yeah,
one a days.
6 one a days.
Yeah, yeah,
I guess
yeah.
They're giving them to people, and then... who aren't intentionally rubbing themselves all over.
Animals. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that's
whereas
true.
This job is literally
intentionally hugging
dogs. Hug a horse. Yeah.
But I do have the medical grade nose spray.
Right.
Which works really well. It's like a steroid nose spray. And then the eye drops.
You're like fully kitted out.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, I've heard there's an injection now you can get.
Yeah, yeah. It lasts like a certain amount of time.
Maybe I'll do that.
I think that might be wise.
That might be smart.
Yeah,
that
might be wise.
Yeah.
I'm glad you came on this podcast so that now you knew to go do otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. And just release this after I film it, yeah?
You're worried about being fired for being allergic, and I don't think that can happen.
I don't think they're allowed to
do that.
I think they're allowed to do that.
I think it will be fine.
Yeah.
It has been in the past. That's what I keep telling them.
Well, on that note.
Bring in the dog.
Bringing a dog.
Yeah.
Is that a horse? I
wonder why there was a horse out there.
Lie down and let him eat his neck. And
yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well, thank you very, very much for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's been a real pleasure.